places. It's kind of different for me. Normally, you know, a song leading or something like that sitting up here, at least I can see your faces. So I've been seeing the back of your heads. I don't know whether you've been asleep or awake. Hopefully you got your nap in. If not, you'll have about 20 minutes you can take a nap here. Turn with me, if you would, 1 Kings chapter number 8. 1 Kings chapter number 8. How about those teenagers? How about that? You know, Colin made a statement in his message there about being a Christian teenager in this world today. And I thought about that, you know, when he said it, you know, I was like, okay, a Christian teenager in the world today. Well, I remember how hard it was to be a Christian teenager a couple years ago. And, you know, some of the things that the kids today have to deal with that, you know, my wife and I have talked, and I never dealt with that stuff until I was an adult. I remember when I went to college, there were things that I didn't deal with in college that kids are dealing with in high school today, in middle school today. So I'll tell you what, folks, you do yourself a really good service if you remember these teenage boys and girls that we have, the children in this church, in prayer, because they're the church when we're gone. They're the next generation. They're the ones that we're supposed to pour the knowledge into. We've heard message after message preached about, and this happened to the fathers, and they remembered what happened with the fathers, and it was told and it was recorded and it's passed on and passed on. And, you know, there's so many things I don't think we're passing on to our children. But I thank God for parents that would bring their children to church. I thank God for the teenagers, the younger ones, that would not be ashamed to be called Christians. I think sometimes they put us to shame as older adults. But 1 Kings chapter number 8, we're going to read in a minute. 2014, it's almost over. Everybody can look at their watch now. This is the one time you get to look at your watch. This one says that it's 7:30. Okay, so well, we haven't even started yet. But here in just an hour or so, it will be the close of 2014. And you know, if you listen to the worldview, and unfortunately some Christians, you would think that 2014 was a horrible year to be a child of God. What a discouraging dearth of doom that they're dealing. There's a lot of D's there. And it was just phenomenal, the things. We're doomed because we have the wrong leaders. We're doomed because we have a horrible economy. We're doomed because morals have just sunk. We're doomed because of the violence in our land, of the weather and the natural disasters and the terrorism and the riots and too many side effects from the medicines that you take. You take an aspirin and side effects include a broken leg and a hurt toe and an earache and who knows, a stroke. You know, the things, a few things that you try to take medicine for and the side effects are worse. I think I'll just stay sick. But the thought is, you know, well, we might as well just get in the bomb shelter and hide till Jesus comes. Poor us. You know, I have an idea for 2015. Let's get T-shirts that say, we've lost, and let's go around and just wear those all the time. We're done. That's the worldview of today, 2014. Christianity is a lost cause. But, you know, before you say nonsense to that, let me ask, why do some of us, including me, have a defeated attitude so often? There's a lot of times that we walk around and we act defeated. What team are we on? We already know what the score is at the end. You know, has the blood of Christ lost its power? You know, we sang about that tonight. There's power in the blood. Has that blood lost its power? Well, if you say no, then how can that not bring a smile to your face when you think about it? Is the Bible still true? Do we still hold God's preserved words in our hands? And is God still the great I am? You know, is he, do we believe that God's still the God of the Old Testament? I don't want to get ahead of myself, but 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 54, it's King Solomon. They've built the temple. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees. I like that. From kneeling on his knees. With his hands spread up to heaven, and he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and that there is none else. Let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. In this spirit, or in the spirit of discouragement, since we all relate so well to bad news, I've always heard them say, well, why don't they have good news on, you know, in the newspaper or on TV or whatever? Well, good stories don't make news. It's always bad. So in that spirit of discouragement and defeat, I want to fan the flames of pessimism just for a little bit tonight with some negatives. As we close 2014, let's close it on a negative note. I want to share with you this message: 7 things that God will not be in 2015. Now, this is not an exhaustive theological treatise tonight. It's just a quick overview. I can only fit so much in the 90 minutes that Pastor gave me for this message. So, onwards with what I call the be-notitudes. You got the beatitudes? These are the be-notitudes. Trademark. Number one, God in 2015 will not be dishonest. Today's worldview, you say and do whatever you need to do, whatever is necessary to gain fortune and fame. You say whatever you need to do to get wealth to yourself, to make yourself popular. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter what it is. You say what you need to say at the time to get ahead. That's the worldview today. Well, God can't lie. 1 Kings chapter 8, where we are, verse 56. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? It's going to be a lot of Bible. I like Bible. You don't need to. You didn't come to hear me. You came to hear this, right here. This is what we need going into 2015. So tonight, if I go too fast, just write the verses down or come see me after and I'll give you a list of them. Or better yet, in 2015, just read this. You'll find them. They're in there. I promise. Number one, God will not be dishonest. Number two, God will not be different. The worldview says, we got to change. We got to relax. Got too many rules. We need to lower the bar a little bit. Well, we just need to kind of nod our head at that. We need to lower our standards. We need to just do things just a little bit more casual than we have been doing. Because, you know, it is 2014 going on to 2015, and, you know, sin in the Bible, that doesn't apply today. Look at verse 58. It says, that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. So the same commandment, the same commands, the same statutes, the same judgments that were applicable to the fathers are applicable right here. Nothing changed. There was no, well, we're going to change it a little bit. You know, what I know David, my dad, said that we were gathering all of these materials and we were going to build this temple, but nah, we're going to use this over here. This, because it's more hip to today. We can relate to this. No. Which he commanded our fathers. Malachi 3:6. Everybody knows this verse. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Psalm 102:27. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So God will not be different in 2015. Number three, God will not be deserting. I know some of you, you know, there's food, you know, dessert, no, different. God will not be deserting in 2015. The worldview says, you know what? Just walk away. When you're tired of dealing with something, you just say, I've had it, that's enough, I'm done, and you walk away. That's our society today. Let me read you something. I was in the doctor's office the other day, and I picked up one of those worthless magazines that has nothing in it to look at, but there was some sort of neat article on mayonnaise broiled chicken or something. And it was food, and it was chicken, so I had to look, and I came across this article, and it says this, and here's the picture. It says, after 13 years of marriage and three kids together, and I'm not going to say the people's names, but they're amicably separating after 13 years of marriage and three kids. And here's why. The star had been vocal about the toll of splitting her time between work in LA and her kids in Charlotte. This woman chose her job over her children. She walked away. Brother Paul, that's like you saying right now, I've had it. That's enough. And leave them on the pew and walk out. But I've got one even better. It doesn't have to be that drastic. How about in 2015, you decide you've had it with church, you've had it with God, and you've got kids or you've got grandkids, and you say, you know what? I've had it. And you walk out on them spiritually. Those of you who know me, you say, Brother Jeff, you cry too much. Praise God. The day that it ever stops being real to me, set me down. It's real to me every day. It gets sweeter every day. Why? Because the God in heaven, who I walked out on, said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And when you think that you've gone too far, and when you think that you've taken that one step away too much, stop, turn around, start walking back, God will meet you on the way. You don't even have to walk the whole way there. All you have to do is turn. You take the first step, and guess what? He runs to meet you. Every time. God will never, ever buy into the fact of deserting one of us. You say, I don't believe you. Okay, look into verse number 57. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13:5. Everything gets blurry when your eyes water. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, what? I will never leave thee or forsake thee. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I've had a bunch of people fail me. I've had myself fail me. But God the Father has never, ever, one time failed me. When I get my eyes on myself, and I say, well, I don't think this should have worked out that way. Well, God knows better. Get ahead of myself. So guess what? 2015, God's not going to leave you. Number four, God will not be defeated. There's a worldview today that God's a myth. It's a fairy tale. God ranks right up there with Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and whatever Aesop's fables, you know, whoever, it's just one of those things. We can't see them, so it can't exist. We got to bow to the altar of science today. That's what we're told. Or, even better, hey, you're God. Man is God. That's today's humanist worldview. Well, guess what? God can't lose. God won't be defeated. Look at verse number 60. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God. And what's it say at the end? And that there is how many? None else. None else. There's God, and that's it. There's not your science. Well, here's what I get. You go ahead and worship science all you want. Who made science? God did. There's proof of it in his word. God can't lose. Psalm 66:7, he ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations, let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Jeremiah 33:20-21. These verses are profound. I've read them over and over and over again. And you know what? I was reading them the other day, and it was like, that really says that. I never saw that before. And I was like, wow, that's pretty neat. Thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 33:20-21, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant. You know what God just said? If you can stop the sun from rising, and if you can stop the sun from setting, then God can lose. Show it to me. None of us can make that happen. It's not going to happen. God cannot lose. That's good news for me. I don't know about you, but oh, I'm sorry, this is a negative message. Revelations 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead. I was he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. One of these days, we're going to see him face to face. Wow, what a day. You know what? I'm going to cry some more that day too. Why not? But the problem is, as I think at first, when I see my Savior face to face, they're not going to be great, happy tears. When I think about time wasted, that's a whole nother message here. Number five, God will not be dozing. The worldview, here's the worldview of today. Society is lazy, lethargic, stationary, surprised, and have no plans. Society is lazy, lethargic, stationary, surprised, and has no plans. Society is lazy, lethargic, stationary. Do I have to keep going? This right here shows. See, I have this muscles in my stomach that help me eat. Lazy. Stationary. Think God's fallen asleep at the wheel, society thinks today. God is this old man with this white beard and this cane, and he sits in this chair and he's got these hands and he just rings them together going, I had no idea the world was going to turn into this. If I had known this, I would have never made the world. And that's what the world thinks. God's lost control. God's asleep. Guess what? God doesn't sleep. You say, oh, wait a minute. How do you know God doesn't sleep? Well, because verse 59 here of 1 Kings chapter 8 says that be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times. How can you maintain somebody's cause at all times if you're asleep? Psalms 121:4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall never slumber or sleep. If that one wasn't plain enough, there's another one. God will never slumber or sleep. You say, okay, I get it. God's awake, but, you know, he was over here. Maybe he was over watching the problems in Afghanistan and he didn't see what's going on in South Haven. Jeremiah 33:3 says what? The kids all know this. Jeremiah 33:3 says what? Go ahead, you can sing it. I do. That's the only way I remember it. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Y'all try that sometimes. Thank you, Miss Kelly, because you're the one that taught us that when we were back in the kids' club. And you know what? Everybody says Jeremiah 33:3 now, bing, there's that. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. What great news that is. You know, when you wake up at 3:30 in the morning and you're worried about that problem that you can't solve, that thing that came along that you have no idea how you're going to get out of, that thing that you just have no clue what you're going to do. God says, call unto me, and I'll answer thee. He doesn't say, call and leave a message. He doesn't say, call and my secretary will handle it. He doesn't say, call the pastor. He says, call unto me. And I think there's a lot of us that the first thing that we ought to do when we have those problems is call unto me, God. Instead of picking up the phone and calling somebody else, I don't know what I'm going to do. God says, hey, call unto me. I'll answer you. I'll show you great mighty things that thou knowest not. Brother Paul told me something before the service tonight, and I'm not going to repeat it. If you want to know, you can ask him how God blessed him. And I was like, hey, man, that's great. You know why? Because I know that God is still in the blessing business. God's not going to change. God's not going to sleep. God's not going to be defeated. God's not going to leave you. Number six, God will not be depleted. Worldview is, there's not enough time, there's not enough money, there's not enough energy, there's not enough motivation to get anything done. We can't do anything. Or we say, you know what? I'd get right on that, but I don't have. You fill in the blank. It could be time, it could be money, be talent, I don't know. God will not run out of what? Mercy, love, patience, grace. Verse 56, it says, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people. How do you give somebody rest? You take care of what they need. You come to me and you say, I need a hole dug, and it needs to be about this big around, and it needs to be about this deep. Don't call me. That's, you know, I'd get to it, but I don't have the time to do. Come on, it's not that late. And you call somebody, you say, well, you know, I really would like for you to come and dig this hole. and you come dig the hole for them, what do they get to do? Rest. Why? Well, if you're digging the hole, they don't have to. So they get to rest. And I like that when people will do things sometimes and then I get to rest. Well, there's a lot of times that God does things for us that we haven't even got a clue. And he lets us rest and we didn't know it. But God says that he's going to give, he's given rest unto his people. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 32 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." That's the good news. Romans 11:33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out." I've learned that when I can't understand it and I don't know how it's going to get done, and God says do it, that I just need to shut up, sit down, and say, "Okay, Lord." Because he knows ways to get things done that I haven't even thought of. And it doesn't matter how smart you are, God's still smarter than you. Number 7. This is the most important one. In 2015, God will not be denying. It may not be grammatically correct, but it can't be a be notitude if it doesn't have a be in front of it. The worldview, this society is full of denial, refusal, and rejection. We've already talked about some of it. But listen to this. How about this statement? God could never accept me. God could never forgive me. If you knew what I did, if you knew how I've been, if you knew the life I led, God could never forgive me of that. If you knew the things that I've done. And that's the one we snap to the quickest. But how about this one? I'm not sharing the gospel with that person because I really don't think they deserve it. I don't think they'll say yes to it anyway. They're not who I really want to talk to. We don't think about it. You may not say that out loud. I know I don't. I don't walk around and consciously go, "Well, I'm not going to give him the gospel. I'm not going to ask him if he knows if he dies, if he's going to go to heaven or not. I don't have time for that. I don't know if, you know, what if they yell at me?" So, God said that don't fear man that can't destroy the soul. But guess what? God won't turn one away. In 2015, God will not turn a single person away. 1 Kings chapter 8, still. Verse 60, "That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God." You know, we've all been walking all over each other's message all night long. It's been great. I love it when they all just sort of intertwine like that. "Whosoever will may come. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And I love it. God will not turn one away. John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." You can come to God just as you are. You don't have to worry about it. Again, guess what? When you call on him, he's there. It doesn't say we'll return it to. It doesn't say on vacation. God's there. He's just waiting for you to come. My favorite, John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Not a way, a truth, a life, but the one and only way, truth and life. Revelation 22:17, "And the Spirit and the bride say" what? "Come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." So I ask you this, what do you do in 2015? About an hour away. You have to make a choice this coming year. Are you going to do it God's way? Are you going to do it the world's way? Or are you going to try to mishmash the two of them together and do it your own custom way? Verse 61 of 1 Kings 8 says, "Let your heart therefore be perfect, not on its own, but with the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes and to keep His commandments as at this day." I don't know where you line up with the seven things. That's between you and God. I know where I line up. I know there's work in 2015 that I have to do. That's between me and God. And so what I ask of you to do is to pray for me in 2015 that I could serve God more. And guess what? I'm going to pray the same thing for you. Are you going to cling in 2015 to a negative, defeated attitude? Or will you hold your head high, knowing the victory's won? You know what? I think I'm about done with the doom and gloom. I work with a guy, it wouldn't matter what it is. Every day I show up, it's wrong. Something's wrong. Somebody's wrong. Something went wrong. Something. And, you know, it's one of those that you want to say, well, why did you even get out of bed? And it doesn't matter what it is. He never has a good day. I think a good day for him is under 20 complaints. I'm done with that. Let's live joyfully for God. We have a reason. Jesus died. He's not still in the grave. He rose. He lives. There's power in the blood. And He still saves. You know, but maybe you're here tonight and you aren't sure if you're on God's side. You don't know how to be on God's side. There's a whole bunch of us here that would love to take the Bible and show you tonight. 50 minutes left, according to this clock, in 2014. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. And if you don't know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, where you stand with God, if you're unsure of your future, of your eternity, don't leave this place. Please, don't. That's the only reason that we're here, is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I don't know where I'd be. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, the long-suffering of God, the patience of God, the love of God before the world was even created. As we heard said, how many fathers in here would let their son be given? We have a Bible account of one who raised the knife. I'm sorry, I don't think I'd get even that close. And I don't mean that harsh, but that's not within me to do. But God did. Gave the most precious thing He had for me. Why? Why? If that does not stir something inside of you, something's wrong. And at the end of 2014, why not decide, I'm drawing my line right here. I'm going to spend 2015 living for God. I don't know what's ahead. It may be rough. There may be problems. I may have medical difficulties. I may lose my money. I may lose my house. I may lose my job. If you're saved, you can never lose your eternity with God. If you're not saved, you're guaranteed an eternity separated from God. You got to come through Jesus and that shed blood. Let us please. I can't say it enough. If you don't know, settle it tonight. If you do know that you're a child of God, make a determination in your heart tonight. Would you bow your heads with me? I'd ask you in your heart tonight, if you would just ask yourself the question, where do you stand? Where do you stand? What better time at the close of a year we can look back and say, well, I know there's a new year coming. If God tarries, if God so chooses, there's a new year on the horizon. Let's make 2015 a year that we live for God. Let's make 2015 the year that we do more, that we reach more people, not for our glory, but only for His and all that He's done for us. Would you say that tonight in your heart? Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You for Your truths. Thank You most of all for Your love and Your Son. Thank You for salvation. That there's no way possible we could have earned on our own, and nothing we could do. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Lord, thank You for all You've done for us, for the blessings, for the way that You've always guided. Thank You for Your long-suffering and for Your forgiveness and Your mercy. I pray tonight, Father, that You'd help us as we enter this new year. I pray if there's one here tonight that's lost, oh, Father, that they come to You. I pray that You'd cleanse the message from any errors. Remove me from it. Lord, I only want to be used of You. I pray that You'd just give us a good time as we close the services tonight, as we move towards the new year together. Thank You for this church and these people. Thank You for Your blessings again. All these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.